While Thelma dished up my food, I went to the telephone in the corner by the toilet. It took Vivian a while to answer, and she didn't sound too happy about it. "Did I get you at a bad time?" I asked her. "Getting these children something to eat," she said. "Where are you?" "The Rainbow Club. Tonight?" "I need to see you, baby. I need to talk," I said. "Something the matter? I just need to talk to you, baby, that's all." "You want to come over here? I can fix you a sandwich." "No, I'm going to eat here at the cafe." "I'll see if I can get Dora," she said. "If I can't, you'll have to come over here. I can't leave the children alone." "I understand." Thelma had the stewed shrimps, a green salad of lettuce, tomato and cucumber, a piece of cornbread, and a glass of water on the counter waiting for me. "Anything else to go with that?" she asked. "This'll do." "Here or a table?" she asked. "The counter is good." "What you doing in town on Monday?" she asked. "Calling Miss Fine Brown," I nodded. "Figures," Thelma said and smiled. Thelma's mouth was full of gold teeth, solid gold as well as gold crowned. She also wore perfume that was strong enough to keep you a good distance away from her. I figured that's where most of their money went, on those gold teeth, that perfume, and payment on the new white Cadillac that Joe had parked before the door. But they were good people, both of them. When I was broke, I could always get a meal and pay later, and the same went for the bar. I talked with Thelma a while after I finished eating, then I paid her and went back to the other side. "Usual?" Claiborne asked me. He knew what I drank, but he would always ask. I nodded. "What you doing here on Monday?" he asked while pouring me a brandy. "I needed a drink," I said. "Sure," he said. He poured a glass of ice water and set it on the bar beside the brandy. "I think I know now," he said. Car lights had just flashed upon the front of the club, and I could hear the tires on the crushed seashells just right of the door, and sure enough, it was Vivian, and the men at the bar looked around at her when she came in. She was quite tall, 5'7", 5'8", and she wore a green wool sweater and a green and brown plaid skirt, and both fit her very well. She had soft, light brown skin and high cheekbones and greenish-brown eyes, and her nostrils and lips showed some thickness, but not much. Her hair was long and black, and she kept it twisted into a bun and pinned at the back of her head. Vivian Baptiste was a beautiful woman, and she knew it, but she didn't flaunt it. It was just there. She came up to me, and a couple of the other men at the bar nodded and spoke to her. One tipped his hat and called her Miss Lady. "You made it," I said. "I got Dora." "Usual?" Claiborne asked her. She nodded toward my drink.
"Shirley can bring it to your table," Claiborne said.
"It won't tire her out, I hope." Claiborne grunted at me. It was a slow night. The few people at the bar were holding on to their glasses and not buying anymore. Shirley, the waitress, was sitting on a bar stool at the far end, and she had not moved once since I had been there. Vivian and I went to a table far over into the corner where we could be alone. "I'm glad you came," I said, and kissed her. Shirley brought the drinks and set them before us on paper napkins. Before leaving, she looked at me out of the corner of her eye to let me know she didn't like my remark at the bar. Vivian and I touched glasses and drank. "What is the matter, Grant?" she asked.
"I just had to see you."
"Is something the matter?"
"When was the last time I told you I loved you?"
"A second ago."
"I should say it more often," I said.
"What is the matter, Grant?" she asked me again.
"You want to leave from here tonight?" I asked her. "You want to go home and pack your clothes and get the children and leave from here tonight?"
She looked at me as though she was trying to figure out whether I was serious or not. "No," she said.
"Why not?" I asked her.
"Because the whole thing is just too crazy," she said.
"People do it all the time. Just pack up and leave."
"Some people can, but we can't," she said. "We're teachers, and we have a commitment."
"You hit the nail on the head there, lady. Commitment. Commitment to what? To live and die in this hellhole when we can leave and live like other people?"
"How much have you had to drink, Grant?"
"A whole fucking barrel of commitment," I said, and raised my glass.
Do you want me to leave, Grant? She asked. You know I don't like it when you talk like that.
No, I don't want you to leave. Please don't leave me, I told her.
She reached over and touched my hand. Then she began to rub the knuckles with her fingers.
I need to go someplace where I can feel I'm living, I said.
I don't want to spend the rest of my life teaching school in a plantation church. I want to be with you, someplace where we could have a choice of things to do. I don't feel alive here. I'm not living here. I know we can do better someplace else.